racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome back in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bubka. So proud to be sitting alongside of Jay Randolph Jr. He's also known as the STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Well, we got another special guest coming up on today's podcast. We just finished what would have been Masters Week. So who better to talk Masters with than General Ben Crenshaw? He'll be coming up a little later on the show. Now, I'm going to throw Jay a little curveball. I did not mention this prior to the show, but first I got to solicit his agreement to participate in a contest with none other than Tiger Woods and David Duval. Are you up for it, Jay?
No problem.
All right. About 20 years ago, when we had to go down to Argentina to cover the World Cup, representing the United States was Tiger Woods and David Duval. We were provided a driver and a car to take us from the hotel out to the golf facility each and every day. The first day driving out, I asked the driver, "Is this what you do permanently?" He said, "Oh, no. I am the second biggest sports star in all of Argentina." And he was referencing Maradona, the incredible football soccer player. He said he was the second biggest athlete in Argentina. When I said to him, "What sport do you play?" He said, "Underwater hockey." All right, now let's quick forward to to David Duval and Tiger Woods coming out of the scorer's trailer. My turn to interview them, and I said, "Hey guys, I know you've been asked everything in the world, but I don't know if you've been asked this question." I said, "Tiger, what do you know about underwater hockey?" He said, "What?" I said, "Well, David, what do you know about underwater hockey?" He says, "Underwater hockey? What do? Melt the ice?" So, Jay Randolph Jr., what do you know about underwater hockey?
All I know is what you would tell me. I'm not familiar with the underwater hockey. I know about the water polo, but I don't know about the underwater hockey.
Well, you'd be surprised to learn underwater hockey is an extremely popular sport. They hold a world championship each and every year. It's played in 34, 35 different countries around the world, and I want our listeners, when they get a chance, just Google underwater hockey. You'll find out that what I'm talking about is 100%. Oh yeah, and the funny part is the officials for underwater hockey actually sit outside the pool but watch the action going on in the pool on TV cameras and make the call off the TV pictures. Pretty interesting. We hope we bring a little joy to people that are suffering so much through this very difficult period of time. But it appears there'll be a light at the end of this tunnel. Credible reports, Jay, the PGA Tour schedule is getting everyone ready to resume the week of June 8th with the Charles Schwab Challenge in Fort Worth, probably without spectators. Do you think that's optimistic or realistic?
I think it's extremely optimistic. I think that, you know, they want to get it back going. They feel like probably they're, if you will, in a sense, one of the safest sports or activities. We know, frankly, that the president of this country wants to get things back, and we know that he is a golf guy. So I think it's ambitious, but, you know, one of the places that apparently, and you're right there in the heart of it, that has been less affected, at least so far, than others, is the state of Texas. So that is an advantage, or at least it appears to be an advantage. You know, the other thing that we're going to, you know, they can put a date for whenever they want, but you're also going to have players show up and play. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you're bringing up an extremely valid point. Who knows what air travel is going to be like at that time? It's only 7 weeks away. I mean, it's really a very short time. And the idea of no spectators, I must report to you, is not original. Just this past weekend, as a matter of fact, I was talking to a colleague of mine that works on Talk Sport. He's in Taiwan covering what they call their Major League Baseball, and they had a game scheduled for Saturday. Teams over there, believe it or not, have cheerleaders, so they were there. There were no spectators on the grounds, but they did have mannequins all dressed up as baseball fans. And the line of the day was when I was told that the game never really got underway. There was rain prior to the start. They waited 3 hours during the rain delay before they called it. But he said they were very loyal mannequins. Not one got up and left.
And good for the officials as well. Yeah, I mean, I hope that there are players that gather the second week of June in Fort Worth and tee it up, because I'd love to watch it. I do not think, as you said, there will be spectators. But as I said, will everybody play? Or how will guys work their way back into a PGA Tour schedule? That's all yet to be determined.
And you know, one thing that, it's a minor thing in the scope of what's going on in the world, if the players do play without spectators, they're probably going to be very surprised at how harder the golf course is going to play when you have people surrounding the greens and you hit an errant shot and it bounces off somebody and stays there. People that tee it up at Gateway National, you know, if they hit a shot, it just keeps going. And that's what the pros will be experiencing for the first time.
How many times have you and I witnessed a player hit a poor shot or a shot that was going long that instead goes into a grandstand and gets, oh, okay, well, we'll put it right here and there's a drop area and I'll just slap it on and get out of here. Let me tell you something. If they don't have spectators, there's no reason to put up grandstands. You will see some interesting things, Bob. I don't think there's any question of it. You may not see it necessarily from the leaders, but the guys that aren't playing well, I mean, there's no question that, and you know what else could happen? You could have some lost balls.
Yeah, that's a good point, because nobody out there.
So. Yeah, it's all going to be interesting. I mean, are you just going to have the nuts and bolts of the television crew? Are you going to have people in towers? Or are you only going to have maybe two or three guys broadcasting, potentially maybe even from a separate location? I mean, there's so much uncertainty because this is all so new. So I just don't know exactly how it's going to play out. I think it's going to be a process. I think the tour knows it's going to be a process. But they're trying to get something in motion to try and get things back to semblance. And hopefully we can get there.
Janice Self, our executive producer, just flashed me a note. How many times have we watched, Jay, somebody hit an errant shot, and we see 30, 40, 50 volunteers all looking for that golf ball.
Right.
Now it's only going to be you and your caddy.
We all lose golf balls all the time. We hit a lot of shots that we think, well, that's going to be perfect. And you get up there and you can't find it. I mean, I think that could really, and they've lowered, of course, the time you can look for it. I think that'll be very fascinating. I mean, I can't imagine that there will be live scoring per se. That's all done by the volunteers, the shot link. I mean, you know, you and Janice know better than anybody the infrastructure that is in place to make the tour go smooth in its normal, you know, in its normal state. This is going to be, at least for the start, I think, a shell of what we've known. And I think you could potentially see a shell of a field. I mean, you can't guarantee that you're going to have 144 guys or 156 guys in Fort Worth. I don't think you can necessarily say just because you're having the tournament.
Depending on how difficult it is to get to the tournament site, probably will mandate how big that field is. At the end of June, that Travelers Championship, that's set for June 25th through the 28th. That's their original date. So
yeah.
They're not making any changes there. Early July, Rocket Mortgage Classic. That's supposed to be at the Detroit Golf Club, a brand new venue for that. You know, there's so many uncertainties that it's incredible. How about the Memorial Tournament? You know, July 16th. Now I think maybe we're getting into a realm of certainly a better possibility of it being held, you know, middle of July.
I've got to think that in a sense, they look at that July 16th. You know, if they start back at Colonial, I think it's going to take a month to get back to somewhat normal as it relates with all the things that a PGA Tour encompasses. So I think that maybe in the back of their minds, there's because a lot of people thought they were going to start with the Memorial anyway, that maybe that can be the one where they can start to let people back in. Time will tell. We'll have to see. That obviously Memorial would take the spot of the British Open, the Open Championship, which has been canceled. And then they go to Minnesota for the 3M Open. And then Memphis would get that FedEx, St. Jude Invitational, a FedEx event. It would be played the last week of July, first week of August.
Yeah, and of course, big news in and around the Houston area. Where we have been locked up in our house for, you know, a little over a month. We've heard the Houston Open is going to move back to the week before the Masters, which it always was, and that made it very popular. It's going to be at a brand new facility for a tournament, certainly an old facility, the Memorial Park in downtown Houston, one of the great old golf courses. They're doing a lot of work on that to bring it up to snuff. It's being renovated. And it's located right in the heart of Houston, and it's a public golf course, so that should be something to keep an eye on. What about the PGA Championship, Jay?
Yeah, I've seen some comments from Seth Waugh. They are still planning on August 3rd through the 9th at famed Harding Park in San Francisco. Waugh was recently on the Sirius XM radio show, with or without spectators. It's all dependent on what's going on. He really declined to make a decision on that, you know, and I think that's the thing that a lot of these golf officials or commissioners, in a sense, have to wait on. I do think because of the relationship between the administration in the White House and the administration in Ponte Vedra Beach, that they have a little bit of a feel of what the plans are on reopening the country to a certain extent, or else they wouldn't have come out with, you know, this information that was given out yesterday or last night.
No, I agree with you, Jay. I think Mike Wan and Jay Monahan are getting up to the minute information on the status of, you know, personal safety in this country. Both those guys would never think of even, you know, thinking about a golf tournament if it involved the risk of anybody getting this vicious virus.
To validate that, Bob, both Monahan and Mike Wan have been named to the president's 100-member economic council to get the economy safely back on track. The president has on numerous occasions talked about the sports world and how vital that is, not only to the economy, but I also think in a sense to, you know, the overall feel and emotion of the country.
Yeah. We got some good news out of Dallas. They've announced Jay, the Byron Nelson is going to be held at the TPC Craig Ranch. It's located in McKinney, Texas. That'll be starting in 2021. Of course, they're involved with the Salesmanship Club, which is just an outstanding group of volunteers that have raised more money for their Momentous Institute than any other event on the PGA Tour. The Byron Nelson, which was always one of my favorite events, mainly because we would have an opportunity to spend a little time with Byron Nelson and his lovely wife, Peggy. I mean, I always considered it, I was walking on hallowed ground when I was in the presence of Byron Nelson, one of the real true gentlemen ever to play the game. And well, we made a promise, Jay. Who's it going to be?
Ben Crenshaw is who it's going to be. One of the true legends of the game of golf. Two-time Masters champion, gentleman, great historian of the game, a first-class individual. And he is going to be with us in just a moment. But first, let's hear about Gateway National Golf Links. While we're still closed, based on Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's order, we will be back in business. So take a listen, and when we get back, it'll be our chat with the gentle giant, Ben Crenshaw. Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning link-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses. Spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates, are online at gatewaynational.com. An added perk, if you live here in the St. Louis area, you purchase the season pass. Walters Golf Management manages eight other properties, and you'll get playing privileges at those golf courses. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com.
And of course, you're closed right now, as I understand it. Jay, any word, an optimistic view of when you'll be able to open?
Well, I think this is somewhat optimistic because I have heard that, I mentioned Governor J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, is looking at extending the stay-at-home order further into May. However, I have heard that he is looking at adapting some procedures and some policies that may allow golf courses to reopen May 1st. So May 1st is the hope.
Well, we certainly hope so, and I'm sure all the golfers that live in and around the area will want to take advantage of that. What better way just to go outside and get some exercise and play this wonderful sport?
You know, Bob, the term gentleman is sometimes thrown around too often, but Ben Crenshaw is just a fantastic individual. If you've ever gotten to be around him, he's a gracious individual. He's one of my favorite players of all time, even though, you know, best known for the Masters victories and a tremendous amateur in college career. You know, I look at Ben as really one of the keepers of the game.
Fond memories of your second Masters win, 1995, coming back from being a pallbearer for Harvey Pinnick, two of his best pupils, yourself and Tom Kite, and now you're being interviewed probably with his worst pupil, yours truly. But I did I did enjoy my lessons with Harvey. And one aspect I found, Ben, it seemed like whatever Harvey would tell me, it didn't set in necessarily right then and there, but maybe a day later or 2 days later, it would become a very clear picture of what he was hoping to accomplish.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob, it's so similar in that when people did take a little small lesson from Harvey, they didn't last long, but they invariably they would go out to play the next day or two or three, and then something would hit him and say, you know what, I think that's what he was trying to tell me. It was very, almost a little strange that way. And also, too, Bob, that when people have picked up his book, the little red book, or the green book or the blue book, they pick up those books and reread them again, and then it dawns on them, you know, something sinks in again. You say, golly, that escaped me. I'm not doing that. So his method of teaching was so simple and direct and easily understood. It was not confusing, but, you know, we're all human, Bob. And over the ball, if it's the old adage, if you're thinking of a lot of different things, you're not going to do well. And if you're thinking of one thing, you're going to do okay. But if you can boil it down to thematics such as that, and mostly it's fundamentals. And he was very much a fundamentalist. And he would teach every pupil individually. In other words, he wasn't going to give you a piece of knowledge that he knew that you couldn't perform. But mostly he wanted people to trust their instincts and not try to take shortcuts all the time.
And Bob, I think the thing that you can hear in Ben's words on Harvey, and it's a compliment, is the fact that Harvey would keep it simple, that he would keep it to the fundamentals. If you had your fundamentals right, you were going to give yourself the best opportunity to play your best golf. Yeah, there are little nuances in those books that you can pick out and take and put into your own game, but the fundamentals were key, and not making the game more difficult than it already is.
And share with us, you come back on that Wednesday night, having served as a pallbearer for Harvey Pienick, along with Tom Kite and Sonny Rhodes, a mutual friend of ours. You have to tee it up on Thursday. How quickly were you, or how slow was the process of getting into the competition once it began on Thursday, trying to put aside the real grief that you went through earlier in the week?
Bob, it was so ironic that when Tommy Kite and I and Sonny, and we all worshiped this man, and we buried him, and there was a finality to that. But before I left Augusta, after hearing the news, I had a practice session with my caddy, Carl Jackson, at Augusta. I was there having missed the cut at New Orleans, and I was at the Augusta National on Sunday night when Tommy Kite called me and told me that Harvey had passed away. And then we made a plan to go back to Austin and go back to Augusta. But in a practice session before I left the club, Carl Jackson said a couple of things to me in practice. He said, I want you to slow down. He said, you're swinging way too fast, and I want you to put that ball back in your stance and make a tighter turn with your shoulders. And it was within five shots, I started striking the ball solidly again. And I just somehow grew confidence from that moment on. And after the funeral, coming back to Augusta, I was eager to put that piece of feeling back into my swing. And it just felt great. And I said, all right, let's get this tournament started. I'm in my favorite place. The week is somewhat of a festival of, it's always a festival for Augusta National, but I think Harvey is on a lot of people's lips. They all knew about him and his life in the way that he taught and helping people. So in that respect, it was a joyous week, and I was just eager to put this piece of timing back, and darn if it didn't start nicely on the first day. Second day, third day, it kept on going. And ironically, I had a week where I only had five bogeys, which kind of kept me on even keel. I'd never done that before. So I didn't have, you know, periods of concentration lapses. And, I was just eager to keep it going. And then the last day, I said, look, I'm still playing well. I've got to just go out and accept what's going to happen. And I started off beautifully and just made a put to trying to thread the round together. And, it just, as I've said many times, Bob, I had a lot of help from a lot of different places that week. And I felt like I really did feel like the Lord was honoring me through Harvey.
Wow. Great stuff there, Bob, with you and Ben. And, celebration. I love the way he said that. I love the way he talked about the final round, thread around together. What a magical Masters.
It truly was magical. And I like the way you referenced that, Jay. But, the funny thing, when you're talking with Ben Crenshaw, you get the feeling that it's, like his words are coming from the mountain. I mean, not from another human being. The sincerity and selection of his words, just simply incredible.
Yeah, if you've ever been around him and talked golf, you can feel the passion that he exudes talking about this game and playing it, and you can hear it as he talked about that week. He's also become one of the elite golf course architects, along with his partner, Bill Corr. And Bob, you asked him about the style of golf over in the United Kingdom and how it maybe changed what he does architecture-wise.
How much did you enjoy playing abroad?
Oh, I enjoyed it so much. Lynx golf, there's nothing like it. It's very strange. The 1974 year, Gary Player won at Royal Lytham, and I had qualified at St. Anne's Old Lynx, not nearby. And, I had read about it, and I was embracing what I was about to see. But oddly enough, I thought it was a distant cousin to when we had a drought in Texas, when the ball just takes off and runs everywhere. And it's very much like that. The ball could end up in trouble very easily. So, but the cool temperatures and the wind, it was very different, but I really enjoyed it. It was elusive golf, and you had to hit the ball solidly, and you had to take a lot of clubs, into the wind, because it's a little humid and damp. The ball doesn't travel very far sometimes, but it's a learning experience. But I cherish the times that I played over in the United Kingdom. It's different golf. It's the golf that the game was born on. After all, it's been around for 500 years. And it's something to really learn and study, and it's provided me somewhat of an education to my architectural career, because there's so many wonderful examples of original architecture, very natural architecture. Bill Corr and I love to take a suitable piece of land and do little things to it and let nature sort of guide your way. And that's what I'm in the United Kingdom and Britain and Scotland and Ireland. They have so many situations where you look at a hole, they say, well, gosh, they made a hole out of this situation. And they worked hand in hand with nature. And it's provided me a lifetime of learning, Bob.
I love that response. I love that he says he cherishes the opportunity that he's had to play over there and the nuances. And what I also appreciate is that he doesn't have to have big bulldozers and earth movers and rock and move it over here. And what he has been able to do, along with Mr. Corr, and he's been lucky because of the properties, like a Sandhills in Nebraska, is he's taken what's there and made magic out of it. And that's what they did, as you well know, Bob, in the golf courses that we love and revere over the pond.
Yeah, absolutely. And had an opportunity to spend some time with Bill Corr when we were in Maui this year. And I asked him, is there anything unique about what you guys do? I mean, you seem to create masterpiece after masterpiece. He says, well, I don't think there is any other architect that actually camps out on the grounds before we start a project. I will sleep in a tent out where the golf course is proposed to be built and get a feel for that piece of land and soak up the atmosphere, the weather, and the sky at night. And man, it just impressed me to no end.
Yeah, it's not just drawing stuff on a piece of paper. These two guys, the reason they've had so much success is because they kind of live and breathe it. And anybody that has an appreciation for the Masters, of course, knows about Ben's great history there. Bob poses the question about November.
The Masters this year is going to be played in November. We certainly hope so. Your thoughts on that?
I think that the first thing that people are thinking about is what in the world is the weather going to be like then? All I'm hoping for a dry week, Bob. I think it would not play as interesting if it was wet and windy and cold. You could get those conditions. Nobody knows, but you could get some beautiful conditions. But I'm just hoping it's dry because it always plays its interesting that way. But I know this, that you'll have a set of circumstances that you'll have to apply, and experience will, I think, be relied upon. And in mentioning that, I think last year when Tiger Woods won, his experience won out, and he played a beautifully balanced, mentally tough round, and his pursuers made a couple of mistakes at the wrong time. And he just kept playing. But I think that, to watching him play these days, his balance just looked beautiful. He looks like he's healthy. And he just, that was a brilliant performance last year. And I don't know, we'll all have to prepare and see what's going to happen in November. But we're just elated that it's going to be played this year.
Absolutely, we are. I think that people wouldn't care right now if it was snowing on those guys. But as we talked about last week, Bob, with the announcement of it moving to November, you know, if you look at the Farmer's Almanac, I think it's 62 for a high and 44 for the low, you know, but that could be 75 for the high, or it could be 40 for the high. So it's going to, you know, it can all vary. And the golf course plays a lot differently in cooler temperature.
Ben expressed those sentiments. And on behalf of every listener of the Grow Room, I know you joined me, Jay. A big thank you to Ben Crenshaw to take time out of a busy schedule. You can imagine how many requests were made to Ben last week when the Masters was scheduled to have taken place. And, you know, he couldn't do them all, but he made a point to honor our request to come on in the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. And I know in unison, we're very thankful.
No doubt. Says a lot about you and Janice and the relationship that you've had with Ben. And I'll never forget a made-for-TV event called the Skills Challenge played out at Desert Mountain. That I was working behind the scenes, and somebody gave me a set of rent-a-car keys and said, "You're taking Ben and his caddy Lynn to the airport." It was one of the greatest car rides I've ever had. Him and his caddy Lynn, and just getting to talk at him, it was unbelievable. And I'm glad we got to play it, Bob. And, you know, as the news continues to come out and maybe we get closer to an official date, we'll be right here. We're waiting like everybody else.
Yes, we are. And we certainly want to thank everybody for listening. Stay safe. Be careful. We're going to get through this, and golf will be back in your lives before you realize it. Stay well, everybody.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.